Gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide. Because in a world so full of chaos and madness and scumbaggery, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. My very special guest today is Mo Bedard, the Gnostic warrior. If you are an enemy of his, then you are truly a mofo.
Good one, good one. Wise guy, huh?
I'm not that wise, although I have been called that before. Anyway, Mo, would you please elucidate just on who you are and what it is you do?
Sure, definitely. My name is Mo, as you had mentioned. I got into the truth movement about 6 years ago or so when I started a website called loansafe.org. And it's a website here in America that helps people with their mortgages because there was a foreclosure crisis. And, I'd interviewed you yesterday, and I know you'd seen a gap in the market. You were watching Alex Jones, you know, and you were into what people were doing, and you wanted to do something yourself and create something. So you saw a need there in New Zealand, and I saw the exact same need here in America for a mortgage website that helps people through the foreclosure process. So I started a blog, and then that turned into a forum, and that turned into sort of a movement. And that's kind of led me to where I am now. And then I started the Gnostic Warrior, which is really just centered around knowledge, gnosis, which is knowledge of thyself. And then also exposing the secret mysteries and some of the magic that's being played on us right now as a society and a people.
Mm-mm-mm.
So that's a little bit of a
like the magic of money creation, for example. Man, I wish I could just make up $100 million.
Yeah, what people need to realize, and of course, running LoanSafe, my website with the mortgages, you kind of see what's going on. I've been there from the beginning in 2007 when the crisis started, and with the banks and the trillion-dollar bank out, them going to Congress and, you know, saying, hey, we need X amount of dollars to help some of these homeowners. And, you know, they promised, hey, yes, we're going to help the homeowners. And then turns out they did nothing to help the homeowners with that money. And it went to offshore banks. And Bernanke was being interviewed by the Senate. And he said, hey, we don't got to tell you where it went. It's none of your business. It went to banks. None of it went to homeowners. We don't got
Mr. Bernanke, where did all the money go? Forget about it.
Basically. So you see that time and time again. And you're in the thick of it. You know, and I know as yourself in the truth movement. And it's just one after the other, and you start deciding to pull the veil yourself and start looking behind, you know, the powers that be in the media and find truth yourself. And thank God for the internet. We could do that now and connect, you know, you in New Zealand, me here in America. But also to research, you could find out a lot of interesting things on the internet. And it seems like it's a no holds bar on truth and, of course, misinformation as well. And, you know, the Gnostic Warrior, my theory with that website is to cut through the bullshit and give the real truths of what's going out there and the magic and the esotericism that the magic trick that people are under, the magic of money, the magic of thy selfish, you know, just going after that next car, that next house, you know, that next lady instead of, you know, loving your wife, the woman that's next to you and the family that's next to you. It's always that next big thing outside of yourself. And I'm more of looking inside of yourself and empowering yourself and realize what's being played out there as far as the money goes and the corporations and, you know, the vaccinations and, you know, all these truths. Don't let it, you know, inundate you with fear, but use it as knowledge to be a warrior in the society, because it's really hard to escape it. It's almost impossible if you live, you know, in a country such as yourself in New Zealand and then me here in America, you can't really escape it. But my theory is that you could use that knowledge that we're gathering and be a warrior and defend it and still be happy. And, you know, as long, you know, my theory, as long as I'm not being put in a camp, and my family's not being threatened immediately as far as they're coming here with needles sticking vaccinations in them. We can still refuse them, you know, those. So there's a lot of things that I believe that we have as far as free will that I believe we could use and fight the system, you know, ourselves. And it starts with us, our families, and then, of course, with shows such as yourself that you're doing right now. I mean, you're educating millions of people. I mean, over the years, it's crazy. And I'm doing the same thing. I started with mortgages, and now I'm doing it more with the esoteric and the magic and the knowledge of thyself. And that's the big secret that they've been keeping from everybody. And I know you could see my shirt here. Do you know who that is, Vinny?
Baphomet.
You got it. And who do you think Baphomet is?
I think he plays for the basketball team, the New York Baphomets.
You got it. No, Baphomet, it's been, you know, the conspiracy out there is that it's Satan. It's a satanic symbol, and the Templars, the Knights Templars, worship Satan. And, of course, Baphomet would represent Satan. And actually, it's a representative of us. And that's the big secret. And that's what people need to realize is what you see is not what you get. And you know this. You know, your listeners, I know they know this. They're smart enough because they listen to you, and yourself is you always got to look behind the veil. So if they're telling you this is Satan, you know, well, it's not really Satan. I'm going to research into this and look into it. So I've done that myself, and I pretty much pieced everything together of who Baphomet is and the story behind it and everything. But it basically started out with an occultist named Elpheus Levi, who had drew the picture of Baphomet, and it was just a hieroglyph, and it represents us as man, and we're somewhat of a beast. You know, we're always fighting with that animal nature that we have, you know, and I fought with it a lot of my life, so I understand that from the drinking and the drugs. I've had problems with that. I was a chubby little fat kid for a lot of my life until later on, you know, so there was a lot of things that I could relate to as far as the beast inside of me. And, you know, the anger that I would have, you know, I've been in trouble with the law, I've been in fights and that kind of thing growing up in Southern California in not the greatest of neighborhoods. And so I understand that side, and it was always the side that brought me down. And they basically, the occultists and the esoteric, it's the occult, it's the hidden, you know, and that's what it's about. They hide things in plain sight. And what this is basically, this is a representation of man. This is the spirit. And these are actually two horns inside of our brain that are called the Amon's horns. They're the hippocampus. And they have a lot. You probably don't hear me. Can you hear me okay? I'm up there talking.
Yeah.
But anyways, it has to deal with our brain and a hippocampus. And that's where a lot of our memories and processing comes from. Everything comes from the hippocampus and the ancients.
I thought I saw something. Was that Baphomet thing that you got on your t-shirt wearing a Masonic apron?
This one was, yeah. This is actually it's a painting. It's a famous painting from a French anti-Masonic and anti-Catholic guy from France named Leo Paxil, who had wrote a book against anti-Masonry and stuff. So he took it as an anti-Masonic, you know, they worship Satan. So that's where the worship of Satan comes from. So I told you where Baphomet had came from. The original drawing was from Elpheus Levi, who was an occultist. And then later, this guy comes in, and he's anti, you know, the Masons and anti the Templars and anti this. So he says, hey, this is Satan. They worship the devil. So that is where the conspiracy started, right here with Leo Paxil. And it's basically The Mysteries of Freemasonry Unveiled was the book he had wrote, and it's Les Mysteries de la Franc Macarena. I can't say it really that great, but Baphomet, actually, it's Latin, spelled backwards. It's Tem of Ab, And in Latin, it means temple omnum hominum pada abba. It's father of the temple. Father of the temple is it's us. We're the fathers of the temple. And what people don't understand is that's where our power comes from. It comes from within. And that's what the religions and everything have been hiding from mankind for, you know, the past 2,000 years. You know, they conceal it in their, they do have it in the Bible. They have a lot of esoteric teachings that people don't understand that teach you about this, but it's really knowledge of thyself, and they've been keeping that. It's, you know, go to the preacher, go to the church and find out about everything. Go to church to be saved. You know, go to work to earn money. Go do this, go do that. It's never here. It's never inside. And that's where really our power comes from. You know,
go to the lodge to be saved. Go to Bohemian Grove to be saved.
Correct. I'm not a Freemason, so you know, I'm not a Freemason. I'm not a member of any kind of society or anything. I study it very religiously because I want to know who's ruling us, and I want to know some of the secrets. And right now, I believe we live in the apocalypse. And what, you know,
the revealing of great truth.
Correct. It's the apocalypse is the unveiling is what it means. And what people don't understand is that we're really under the spell of ISIS. And it's really hard to explain in an hour. Maybe we could do it in another show. But basically, ISIS is she's an ancient Egyptian goddess. She was a goddess, a Sumerian goddess, Ishtar, Ashtar. And that's who we celebrate Easter now. And that's where it comes from. Easter is a derivative of Estor. And that was an old English word, and then it developed into Easter, and it's a fertility goddess cult. And that's what the Catholic religion basically is. It's the cult of Isis, and we're under her veil. And that's who you see, like, when you come to New York Harbor. Who do you think's holding that statue?
Columbia.
It's a statue of Isis. It's Columbia. It's all the same. You know, it's... It's just, you know, that's the big thing. We're just under that spell. And, you know, I want to wake some of the people up that understand this and want to look further into it. And I have the kind of love-hate relationship with the society, and I think you do too, you know. But I've researched, you know, our world for the past 3,000, 5,000 years, and we've lived through some hell. You know, we're on radio here. Sometimes I say some words that I shouldn't, but we've been through hell. And we're actually, what we're going through now is like nothing compared to what our ancestors have been through and what they had to live through constantly, day in and day out. I'm not saying it was like that constantly, but literally 5,000 years of war.
I heard something real funny, bro. Like, you know, back in the days of real actual serfdom, when there was like a lord and everybody else was the slaves working on the plantations in England and what have you. Apparently, they only worked 3 days a week, and it was for 4 hours a day, and all the food that the lord had access to, like duck, geese, and things of that nature, you know, lamb and everything, they also had access to. So who's more enslaved now?
I know there's been societies in different periods over the last umpteen thousand years. Who knows how long we've been here? We're kind of born into a conspiracy where it's, you know, we're kind of born upside down, and you kind of got to have to look at the world that way. What you're told is not what you get. Hey, look at that. That's not really that. It's really this, you know, kind of thing. But it's, you know, something that we need to realize that we're born into, and it's this massive kind of conspiracy. And sometimes, you know, sometimes I look at it and it's almost for our own good. I don't think all the bad things are, you know, that you talk about and the things that you're doing. I completely disagree with that. I think anything non-free will is nothing the power should do. So I don't know what they're spraying on us up top, but I've been looking at that for 3 years, you know, and I've seen the videos and I've seen you talking about it and, you know, constantly doing your activism for it there in New Zealand, you know, and I've done my videotapes here, and it's almost like you're powerless against some of the things, you know. And then I realize I'm not dying. It's like they're doing something genetically to us, you know. And you know, I know I'm kind of getting into the DNA part, but a lot of that has to play in who we are as well. And that's kind of the big secret. Is there's been kind of like a 3,000 to 5,000 year war, and I feel we're kind of coming to the end of that, the culmination, and we might either see that, you know, that rumor, the conspiracy of Albert Pike, the Third World War, or that might just be the BS to kind of keep us in fear and keep us down, and we actually might just be moving towards a better place eventually. But I know it's ugly right now, and I think the truths, you know, with these shows are going to help us in understanding what they're doing, but not let it bring us down and be more of a warrior. And I believe money is a tool that we could use because they use it against us. So I believe money could be good and it could be bad. It could be bad if you sell your soul for it and you are away from your family all the time and you do things that you normally wouldn't do for money. I'm talking about making money and lots of money in the right way without selling your soul to Satan or whatever you want to call it. And there's ways to do that. And I believe the power comes within us. And a lot of us in this movement, we kind of look out to everybody, you know, for the answers when really the answers are within. And we got to use that and we got to do things, you know, like you're doing. You don't have time for a lot of things because you're busy creating. And I'm almost the same way. And I'm getting busier now that I started the things on Gnostic Warrior and I started a little podcast radio show. And it's a lot of work, but it's gratifying. It gratifies my soul, you know, to produce this work. And I feel that's what we're here for. You know, that's what Vinnie Eastwood is here for. You're here to serve people. You're here. This is your church. You know what I mean? You're in your room and you're broadcasting to thousands of people every week, and millions of people have seen and heard your stuff. So it's incredible.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, you don't need to feel helpless. You know, I was just thinking, like, chemtrails do kind of make you feel a little bit helpless. It makes me feel like I'm the Mujahideen and I don't have Stinger missiles that were given to me by the CIA yet, so I keep getting gunned down by helicopters from the frickin' Russian military. That's what chemtrails are right now. Where are my Stinger missiles, y'all? We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from New Zealand. You know, I don't know how many people in the United States have actually been to New Zealand. I would say it's a very, very small percentage of the population, you know, all tucked away up there. Anyway, I would like to get back to, we were just listening to this thing over the break about Alan and Al Gore talking about chemtrails. Basically, Mo, have you got that video ready to play there, like from the start? I think about the first minute of it or something, because he goes back and later on just talk about, you know, gay rights and all this other kind of stuff and examples of why climate deniers should never be listened to, etc. But, you know, For this section, if you could play that, just the very start of it when they're talking about the aerosol engineering stuff, that was just classic. Like, oh my God, oh man. Yeah.
This is Vice President Al Gore on the Ellen Show. This is about a month ago, and welcome to the apocalypse.
And next guest is the former Vice President of the United States. Please welcome Vice President Al Gore. And what are you... Well, first of all, let me ask you this question, because there's a rumor, I don't know if this is true or not, that some scientists are trying to figure out a way to block the sun to try to slow down global warming.
Yeah, it's a measure of the feeling of desperation that some of them feel.
Are they really thinking they could do that?
Well, some of them are seriously proposing, and I think it's completely nuts.
Yeah.
You know, you put another kind of pollution, sulfur dioxide, up to orbit, the cover the atmosphere, the sky won't be really blue in the way it is now anymore, but it would block out some of the sun's heat so that we wouldn't have to take the difficult steps to stop spewing all this global warming pollution into the atmosphere. And of course, there are a lot of problems with what they're proposing. It turns out plants need sunlight.
Yes.
It wouldn't stop the acidification of the oceans. And it really should be yet another wake-up call for why we need to stop putting all this pollution up there. We put 90 million tons every day up there, and that's what's drying out the soil.
90 million tons.
Drought last year.
Yeah, well, he's talking about, let's stop the video there, bro. Because when he's saying 90 million tons, he's talking about CO2, you know, carbon dioxide. But geoengineers have stated that they wanted to, like, spray 300 million tons of aluminium and barium and strontium and chromium and frickin' whatever elseium. I mean, unbelievable, man.
Of course, it's always, I think when disclosure, they always under-disclose, of course. You know, this is the biggest disclosure I think that I've seen on chemtrails yet, and I know you've been in this field and activism for how many years now?
I don't know. I lost count.
But to me, this is the biggest disclosure of a public official publicly admitting on a national show that is one of the biggest in the country here in America that there are chemtrails and there's 90 million, and whether that be 300 or whatever, you know, and he's inviting people to protest it. And here in America, man, people are just pretty much just, you tell people about it, they don't believe it. They just still do not believe it. They could see everything in the air, the same things that we're seeing. It would show them the same kind of things in the media and the links, and they won't believe it. And it's just amazing, you know, and just people are so into their own little world. You know, some of them don't even look up in the sky. They don't even get it, you know.
Ellen went on to say in that thing that anybody who denies climate change just needs to be more educated. And, you know, I think the word education means indoctrination, and I think what the problem is with all of these people who won't actually believe the truth even if you show it to them in incontrovertible formats, they're too educated to get it.
No, I agree. That's the thing is I think that the education system I know here in America, it's almost I think I seen Jordan Maxwell talk about it one time. You know, you get that cap, you know, at the end of when you graduate, and it's basically the capping of your skull almost. You're basically ready to carry bricks up to the pyramid, you know, and that's who we need to realize exactly who we are. And I'm one of those guys that I'm not afraid to admit exactly what I am, and I know what I am. I'm a slave in the system that's called a citizen, you know, and it's just a different type of slavery. You know, they have us under money and taxes and stuff like that, but we're somewhat free too. So I've studied history, and slavery has been a, you know, a big thing for thousands and thousands and thousands of years in every culture. And I've done a lot of research in there, and if you've done research, you'd understand. I mean, there's you talk about like the glory days, I guess, of being a slave, and we three hots in a cot. We only worked 3 days a week, and we were kicking back with the master, you know, with his daughters or something. I don't know where that fucking king. Excuse me, my language.
I apologize to the affiliates for the nasty language. The Gnostic warrior can be a little bit feisty.
But anyways, yeah, I'm kind of the Matrix. You know, you take the red pill, Neo, you're a slave. You've been born into bondage, you know, kind of thing. And once you kind of realize exactly how that works and realize that money is really the master, and there's no boogeymans or guys out there. If the vaccines, if you want to refuse them, you could refuse them. You don't have to deal with all the fear. The only thing I'm worried about, to be honest with you, is the chemtrails the most, and then the foods. But the foods, I believe, we also could be warriors, and we could eat organic food, and we could do things. So if we're educated and we understand what they're doing to the food, we could eat healthy organic food and stuff like that. So there's stuff out there that's still available to us. And that's what I feel of being educated and having knowledge and using that and being a warrior and then earning money also in the system, you know, and there's ways to do that where people just kind of need to create. And that is what the system is about. Magic is actually, it's this simple. It's creating man-made things, basically. Something that I think of inside, I create on the out. the outside. That's basically
like a word. Like a word. Yeah, that's why they call it spelling, because you can cast a spell on people with words like Federal Reserve.
Correct. I mean, a thought is nothing until it becomes a word, and then a word could become a book. You know, once you write it down, it could become history. It can become immortal. You know, there's words now and sayings and things that have been said by famous authors and poets and so forth that are literally immortal. And they've made themselves that way by creating that magic. And our voices and the word is the most powerful magical instrument in the world. And it's from day one, they've known that, you know, and that's why you look at entertainers as far as musicians, the entertainment industry, they're really high paid. They're almost the magician high priest of today, you know, because they have so many millions of followers that, you know, they're high paid, and certain people aren't let into the industry and certain people are. And it seems the more devious and, you know, Satanist you are and low-grade materialistic kind of person, your music, you're going to be pushed up to the top. And anything that means something and, you know, that meaningful music that we used to have, it's no longer available as it used to be. And those artists you don't hear of as much, you know, and you just need to understand what's going on and don't play into it. Because, you know, music has a lot to do with our vibrations, because everything's energy. You know, Albert Einstein, everything is energy, and that's all there is to it. And we need to understand that. And when you start thinking about that, Vinny, as far as a person and everything around you and even money and what we do, and you use that in a positive way to influence things, it starts attracting good energy to you. And you're a testament to that, brother. I mean, you talk about, you know, being things happening to you and, you know, you might run out of money or something happened with your car and your listeners will chip in, help you out. The PayPal screws you for a few months and they shut down your account and things end up working out because you're putting positive energy out there. And you're doing that with your voice and your creations. So you're creating this world, the Vinny's world. You know, it's Vinny Eastwood Show. It's this world that you created, and it's a magic.
Vinny's world. It's party time. Excellent.
Exactly. And people need to kind of get off the sidelines, you know. So those people, you know, you're an inspiration to me to start my show that I've just started recently. You know, the blogging I've been doing for a while, and it's easier for me to type and do the written word, but getting in front of a camera or in front of a microphone was a lot harder for me. So, you know, I commend you, and you were an inspiration. I saw you a couple years ago, and I've always watched you because I liked you. You know, I like that you're in this, and you're a nice guy, and that it comes through, and you have a great heart, and then you put a funny spin on some dark matters, you know, and we need that out here, you know, and that's why I tune into you, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners do. So, you know, I'm trying to offer like a different spin as far as my thing is. I want to kind of help go under the veil with people and say, hey, this is really what this means. You know, they say this, but this. And it's not really like it's the knowledge is out there. I'm just kind of putting it together on my blog because I got it from various sources, from books, and I just done the research. And I actually come from a family background that comes from this line of, I believe, that are maybe the powers that be still are what this Solomonic magic is that we're under. So.
Yeah. Well, see, you were talking about scumbaggery. Oh, no, sorry. I just messed that up. You were talking about magical words that, you know, authors will utter and then they'll kind of be known throughout history forever. I'd love to do that with the word scumbaggery. I would love people to, you know, have it be in common usage, you know. Oh, man, that guy at the coffee shop ripped me off, man. He stole my wallet. Oh, the scumbaggery.
It's one of the, you know, when I first started listening to you, that was one of the first times I've ever seen the word, and it made me laugh. You know, now I'm kind of a little bit more immune to it because I've heard it so many times. But, you know, just your opening, the fluoridated capital, you know, the everything. I think you're doing that, even though you might not realize it now. You are, and a lot of the work we're doing now is going to be on the internet, and it's going to be archived. And when we're long gone, it's going to be here. You know, I had this idea.
Well, apparently, CISPR got passed while the Boston bombings were going on, and everybody was distracted. So, no, don't count on it being up there forever, bro.
I think it's going to go up and down. I think that we might have some type of cataclysm or something, but it'll be either manufactured or, but everything's going to be, you know, there's going to be just like on Noah's Ark, you know, there was a couple animals. There's going to be a couple disk drives of everything and the seeds and the food and a couple Hummers and all that. You know, they've built everything and they've prepared for if there's ever some type of earth ending event, there's going to be people that survive, or if the powers that be bring it on. You know, my theory is that I talked to you a little bit about that yesterday, is that we're coming to the end of an age right now. And I know some people might think, you know, hey, new age or anything like that. But if you study history, they actually time it in ages. The ancients and the powers that be understand this. And we're in the sixth age right now. And it started under Augustus Caesar. And he had changed the calendar from the Egyptian calendar when they had conquered Egypt, Rome, to the Roman calendar in 8 AD. And that's the calendar that we've been on. And that's when the sixth age had started. And that's when this kind of magic trick has been kind of played on us, you know. And the goal actually is Pax Romana. And if you research Pax Romana, that's a term, it's Latin for peace under Rome, I believe. I forget what it's for exactly, but it started under Caesar. And, you know, that's what, you know, Rome is, the Pope. He's basically under Caesar's law, you know, and a lot of the nations, you know, a lot of us don't understand, but we're kind of still under that system. And America, you could see it everywhere here. You know, there's a lot of Roman architecture, and you have the, you know, I believe we're Freemasonry. The Freemasons started it, and they're tied into all of this, the powers that be. I don't necessarily think that they're involved with everything evil. I think it just got to a point now where they're actually like Al Gore, we had just played, where they're disclosing this stuff for us to take back the world. They're not going to give it up, but I think they're going to give the truth up, and we're going to find out. And this is the disclosure that we're seeing. And that's, I mean, how are we getting this information? They're giving it to us. The internet's a private domain. They could shut it down anytime. The military started it in the Second World War. You know, so this is a private little domain that we're all on, that they control, and they're issuing the information and letting us talk about pretty much any subject that we want to.
And recording it all
on that disc, and they're putting it in that underground cave. They have those data centers here. I don't know if you've ever seen it. I don't know if it was Department of Homeland Security or one of those units, those three-letter units. But
fusion sensors and all of that kind of jazz.
Yeah, they have like 6-7 story tall buildings filled with servers that are backing up everything that we're doing right now. And they're all cooled, super data security. And they're doing that right now. Every single little thing we do, it's basically, we're all have an IP address, right? So everything we do probably is going into a little folder that's tied to our IP address, any email we send, you know. And then it's just, everything's being monitored because the powers that be want to keep their control, of course. And if you look at the powers, the kingdoms over history, they've always been overtaken by the people. So we've always been the biggest enemy. So that's why there's always been an assault on the people. It's just now it's a soft assault.
A soft assault. I was just thinking about this. How exactly are you supposed to identify your enemy, or that you're even being attacked, when you don't even know that they're there? You don't even know that they exist. You think everything happens by pure coincidence and accident. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
But I've never been edible. I'm a cracker, not a vegetable, fed to an extraterrestrial. The beat is so electrical, it'll pump your heart ventricles. But I bet you will eject it if I start getting intellectual. I am not yet credible, so until I can say I'm credible, I'll say that I'm incredible, respectable, and professional. Do you read me? Am I legible? It's time to get down to the question of eventually will the corruption in the government lead to the collapse of us? Lead to the collapse of us. Lead to the collapse of us.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the show that acknowledges that the right and left are symmetrical on the puppet master's tentacle. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest is Mo Badada, and his website is GnosticWarrior.com, I believe.
That's it, yes.
Yes. Now, you're talking about how the power comes from within us, and I hold this to be an inherent truth. And I believe that it also implicates that we are not living in a fate-based society, that, like Terminator says, there's no fate but what we make for ourselves, you know, free will, free choice, that kind of thing. You have the choice to sit around and do absolutely nothing, and you have the choice to stand up and accomplish great, massive change in your world by devoting your lifespan to it, okay? You know, that's basically, as far as I look at it, you've been given a lifespan, and you can do whatever you can in that lifespan, all right? You can drive yourself too hard and make yourself have a heart attack at the age of 29 and die. Or you can really take it easy and accomplish absolutely nothing and die at the age of, like, 80 or something and actually get to enjoy grandchildren of some description. You know, there's many, many, many paths through life. Which one is yours? Is it being a slave that winds up getting exterminated by ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbags wearing black uniforms in a FEMA camp with 500 ovens and massive warehouses with human cages with manacles bolted to the floor or something like that? Maybe that's what you choose to live like in your life, you know? Or you may choose to fight and die on your feet. Or maybe you'll survive. Maybe you'll become a great leader of the resistance like John Connor or something. Who knows? Point is, it's up to you. Nobody can make those decisions for you. You can only make those decisions for yourself. And I think, what was his name? Anthony Robbins, you know, the motivational speaker, Mo. He talks about how humanity has a crisis of faith, not in God, not in government, but in ourselves. And I think that that's very true. We've lost faith in ourselves.
Definitely. And this, actually, I have an ancient Egyptian proverb written down. And this it says, "Man, know thyself, and thou shalt know the gods." And this is, you know, this is the big secret, and it's not a big secret. And this is where everything comes from. It comes from within, you know, from eating the best foods, you know, to purify yourself. You know, we know the GMO foods and the fast foods and the alcohol and the cigarettes and all that stuff is poison, and that it actually kills us. And it's a scientific fact. So if we avoid those things, we could help purify ourselves. And this is our temple. And we're the father of the temple. We're the Solomons, you know. We're the Solarmans. We could be, you know. They say gods on earth, and that's really the person that isn't affected by the material world, where they could operate anywhere. And you know, when you see Baphomet and you see, you know, George Washington with his, you know, the statue of Baphomet, it's really, they've mastered the as above, so below, and they understand that we're really made of stardust. And we humans, even though, you know, we're here in this flesh, it's actually, you know, we're part of the cosmos out there, and we're actually made of stardust, and part of us is actually out there. And if you studied alchemical kind of things in the occult, you'll understand things like phosphorus, you know, Lucifer. Do you know who Lucifer is, Vinny? Well, you know, the common thing is that's Satan, right?
Lucifer's is like some kind of light of some kind. That's basically all it means, something to do with, like Lumiere or in the French or something, just means light. And that's what Lucifer is, just light.
Well, yeah, it's Latin for light bringer. And basically what people don't understand, it's for phosphorus. And phosphorus is a chemical that's in our blood, and it causes chemical energy. And that's what we use to create. And when they talk about Lucifer, and you hear that in the Morningstar, they're talking about phosphorus that's inside of us, and it's basically the philosopher's stone, and that's Lucifer. It's just phosphorus, and it's found everywhere in nature. We get it in food, we get it in plants. It's the alpha omega of nature. So when we die, the only chemical that basically gets deposited back in the soil, when all our soul is gone and wherever into the stars, the only chemical that's remaining is phosphorus. It gets recycled back into the soil, and then it gets recycled into the plants. The plants, get it. We eat the plants. It goes into the animals. The animals eat it, and it keeps getting recycling. And that's one of the nature. That's what makes us man. What makes us conscious is phosphorus.
Yeah, it goes in a circle like shared. You know, hence the saying "phos for you and phos for us."
Yeah, and if you look at phosphorus, you know, the name is right there, Horus. You know, and that was in Egypt. That was the son of Osiris, and he was worshipped as a light bringer as well. So they're putting that out right there in front of us. So you know, Lucifer isn't bad. They don't worship some god or anything out there. They worship thyself. So that's what they're talking about, and it's all right there in front of us. But a lot of us haven't done the research to find those things out. You know, but
And there's two veins of thought that get interpreted off of this thing. One is, I am powerful, therefore I can affect the people around me and really help all of those people. And the other one, and the other way of interpretation is, I'm all that matters. Frack everybody else. They are mine to manipulate and own and control.
Correct. So we could either be evil. We could be Satan. We could be the evil entity. We could do dark with that power. Or we could create light, we could create love, we could create truth. So basically, that's where the beast comes in. It's if you master the forces, it depends. You know, if you're working for an entity or some type of machine that is serving evil, you're serving evil as well. Plain and simple, it doesn't matter what you think. You're selling whatever it is, your soul, to work to get money for a paycheck for some evil entity. So if you master yourself, it really means nothing. You're serving darkness, but it, like yourself, you're serving light with that energy. The energy isn't just coffee, brother. That, you know, that 9 cups of coffee that you have or whatever. I know it's not that much, but you know, it's really this phosphorus in us.
No, it's actually more.
Gotcha. That's a little too much, but choice. Okay, good. Yeah.
See, and there's the other element as well. I feel that people don't really know what they're on about most of the time. And even I admit that I don't know what I'm talking about a lot of the time. Okay, and another thing, you just got to sometimes realize and think to yourself, you know, am I wrong? Am I actually not fully aware over here? I mean, I forget who he was, but he had this great philosophy. It's about the cosmic schmuck. You know, whether you're a really big doofus. And he's just saying, you know, if I was sitting there and I was thinking to myself, am I a cosmic schmuck? It'd be very unlikely for me to actually wind up becoming a cosmic schmuck because I'm always thinking about it. Whereas if I never think, you know, am I a cosmic schmuck? Then I probably am one and will continue to be until I start questioning whether or not I'm a cosmic schmuck.
No, everybody could be wrong. You know, I mean, I could be wrong on some of the things I talk about, you know, and I know that. But what I tried to do is have the research there. You know, if we're going to do truths, you know, like the person you had on before on your show, she had written a book, real knowledgeable on the subject, Christchurch, what's going on with the insurance companies, you know, defrauding people left and right there, corruption. You know, I kind of do that with my blog as far as having the links to the ancient sources and stuff like that. That kind of put this all together. But, you know, stuff like phosphorus and Lucifer, you actually could find on Wikipedia now. So they're actually doing a lot of these things right in front of us. You know, Nibiru, you know, the planet Nibiru, you know, the people think that's the 12th planet. It's Jupiter. That's it's been known for thousands and thousands of years as Jupiter. And that's been one of the most prized planets for thousands and thousands of years. That's the father god. It wasn't really the sun that they worship. They actually worship Jupiter, and that's the morning star as well. So Nibiru, you know, that Zachariah Sitchin had made famous, and it was the 12th planet, you know, the Anunnaki it came from. I actually believe the Anunnaki came from Jupiter and the Sumerians as well, and that's the planet that they worship. And you could find phosphorus on Jupiter and stuff like that. So Nibiru is Jupiter, and that's the morning star that they talk about in the Bible. But again, people out there, I suggest that you do your own research and find this type of stuff out. You know, I'm kind of into that esoteric stuff, you know, then also kind of the stuff what's going on now, the truce as well, you know, to figure out what's going on and what they're doing to us, the powers that be.
All right, mate. Well, it's been lovely having you on the show today. If you would give out your websites, because I understand that you also offer help and services for people who are going under foreclosure and things of that nature. So rattle them off, mate.
Definitely. Thank you. Loansafe.org. It's LOANSAFE.org. That's a forum for people that might have a loan or a foreclosure issue, mortgages, stuff like that. I've been doing that for almost 7 years now. And then my website with a lot of the stuff I'm talking about now is called GnosticWarrior.com. It's with a G, N-O-S-T-I-C, then warrior.com. And you can find out a lot of the stuff I'm talking about's there.
All right. Wrapped up in a neat little package. Thank you very much, Mark. And it was good to do that interview with you last night as well, although the video did frack up on us. And ladies and gentlemen, you can witness the magic of the Vinny Eastwood Show interview on Gnostic Warrior at GnosticWarrior.com as well. Thank you very much for listening, and also just to reiterate to the listeners, this show survives and thrives on your support. If you are capable of subscribing for as little as $1 a month, anywhere up to $100 a month if you can spare it, we'll go into running this show better in a more squeaky clean machine, and we'll give you some commercial free archives for that as well. Listener supported. We'll see you again sometime.